So, now we will get to know this particular section by way of an example. Let us say Mr. A has purchased or acquired a piece of land in, say, on 10-4-1983, 4 rupees 5 lakhs. This is the first point. Now, Mr. A has gifted the piece of land which he acquired on 15-6-2010. Now, when you know very well, at the time of gift, there is no consideration. Now, the market value of the asset land was, say, 30 lakhs on gift market value. Now the question arises, dear friends. Now the third equation is gifted to B. Now third equation is B sells this land on 17-6-2010 for rupees 31 lakhs. Now, in this case, the question is whether A be liable to pay the tax. Shall A be liable to pay the tax? The answer is no. Why? Because from his hands, the land has been gifted. So, there is no question because transfer does not consider gift. However, Mr. B later on sells the land. Now the question arises, is it subject to capital gains in the hands of Mr. B? Now the answer is yes. Let us understand how the capital gain shall be calculated. So computation of capital gains in the hands of Mr. B. Now, first of all, dear friends, you must understand what is the nature of this capital asset. Is it a long term or a short term? In this case, the asset is a long term. Even he has sold it within 2 days, but the date of holding shall commensurate with this date. The person who holds it, the previous owner. So A is a previous owner. Once A is a previous owner, the period shall commensurate with this date. So from 1983 to 2010, obviously the asset was held for more than 3 years. So this will be a long term capital asset. Once it is a long-term capital asset, how shall you calculate the computation? Capital gains, simple sale consideration or full value of consideration. What is the full value of consideration? Amount received by Mr. B, 31 lakhs. Less, has he incurred any expenses on the transfer? The answer is no. So, there is no question. Less index cost of acquisition. Now, the question arises. B has received it by way of gift. That means, B has not paid anything to acquire this piece of land. Now, the question arises, what shall be the cost of acquisition in the hands of B? Shall it be zero? mind it well. Even if Mr. B, who got the land by way of gift, the cost of acquisition shall also be related to the previous owner. That means, in case of gift, if the assets have been gifted or inherited, in that case, cost to the previous owner, that is the donor, shall be considered as the deemed cost. What is the meaning of deemed cost? Deemed means it is, even it is not actual cost, you have to consider that. So, here the cost of acquisition in the hands of B shall be the cost which was paid by Mr. A for this asset. So, 5 lakhs into, it's a long term, so we have to do indexation. CIA, cost of acquisition to CIA, CII of previous year of transfer. The previous year of transfer is 2010-2011. So for 2010-2011, the indexation is 711 divided by CII of previous year of acquisition. Now, shall the previous year of acquisition be 2010-11 or shall it be 83-84? That you have to understand. It has been held by many high courts, including Mumbai High Court, that the previous year of acquisition shall be the previous year in which the donor acquired, and here this will be treated as 83-84. Once 83-84, that means it will be 116. What I want to tell you, the previous year of CII or previous year of acquisition for Mr. B is naturally obviously 10-11. But for the purposes of computing long-term capital gain, the previous year of acquisition shall be deemed to be 83-84. That is the previous year of, what do you call it, donor. Can I say that in case if the assets have been gifted or inherited, in that case, the cost of acquisition, the period of, what you call it, period of holding, and what you call it, the CII shall be of the donor of the donor. Again, I'll repeat. In case if the assets have been gifted or inherited under section 49 subsection 2 of the Income Tax Act, while calculating the capital gains in the hands of the donee, in case the donee transfers it, then it shall be the cost of acquisition into CII of the previous year of transfer divided by CII of previous year of acquisition. Here, the cost, B has not paid anything, but this cost will be taken as deemed cost into CIA of previous year of transfer. Yes, the date of transfer, the date of sale is 10-11. So, CIA cost of inflation index is 711. This is given in the table. And even though for Mr. B, the CIA previous year of acquisition is 10-11, still it will not be replaced. It will not be considered. But what will be considered? 83-84 indexation will be considered. So this is how you have to consider the cost of this. Now if we calculate it, that whatever the amount comes, this will be the long-term capital gain in the hands of Mr. B. Can I say that Mr. B has got the benefit of a great amount by reducing from this sale value the cost which he never paid? Not only that, he got the benefit of indexation. Not only that, in the denominator, the previous years of acquisition of the donor is replaced. That means it's a great advantage to the donor. So this is how we have to consider, and on this value, Mr. B will be liable to pay tax at the rate of 20%. So this is how we calculate the cost of acquisition in case of gifted assets or inherited assets under section 49, subsection 2 of the Income Tax Act. Is that clear? So this is how we go ahead. Now, let us understand something different. Dear students, I want to know from you the meaning of capital asset. I want to question you that what is the meaning of capital asset? I told you earlier, capital asset is nothing but property of any kind, whether tangible, whether intangible, whether fixed, whether circulating, whether business, whether personal. Now the question is, suppose this is a block of asset. You know what is block of asset? Block of asset is nothing but in the business. Suppose, what is block of asset? Block of asset is defined under section 2, subsection 11 of the Income Tax Act. Now, suppose the person has got plant and machinery, rupees 5 lakhs. This is a WDV, plant and machinery. On, say block of assets on 1/4/2011. Then, what do you call it? He has got motor car, rupees 7 lakhs, or say rupees 2 lakhs. He has got, say, plant and machinery number 2. This is number 1, for rupees 3 lakhs. Now the total value of the block is 10 lakhs rupees. That is WDV. Now, out of this block, say, motor car is sold. And the motor car is sold for rupees, say, 15 lakhs. Just an example. This motor car is sold on 4 rupees 15 lakhs on 10/10/2011. My question is, how you will compute the depreciation and the capital gain? First of all, this is a business asset. Mind it well, even business assets are subject to capital gains if they have been transferred. Now, in this case, how you will compute the capital gain in case of block of asset? Out of 3 assets, 1 asset has been sold for rupees 15 lakhs. Now, there is a computation of capital gain in case of sale of business asset. Business asset, in the bracket you should write depreciable business asset. Depreciable business asset. So there is a particular section. This section is called as section 50 of the Income Tax Act. What section 50 says? In case of a sale of a depreciable asset, if the sale value is in excess of the total WDV of the block, then there will be a capital gain, and that capital gain shall always be called as short-term capital gain. Short-term capital gain. Even if you are holding the asset for 10 years, 15 years, whatever, but that capital asset shall always be treated as a short-term capital gain under section 50 of the Income Tax Act. Again, I repeat, if the depreciable asset is sold for more than the, and the sale price is more than the WDV, then there will be a short-term capital gain, irrespective of the fact whether that asset is held for more than 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. Always it shall be a short-term capital gain under section 50 of the Income Tax Act. Now here, there's a method of calculation of the block, you know, capital gains. First, opening WDV. What is the opening WDV of the asset? 10 lakhs. Entire block. Entire block WDV. Have you acquired any asset during the previous year? Add acquisition of asset during the previous year. Have you acquired any asset in previous year 2011-12? The answer is no. So, you have not acquired. Have you sold any asset which is belonging to the block? Yes, motor car. Now, at what price you have sold it? 15 lakhs. That means, excess amount is there, 4 rupees 5 lakhs. Over the total WDV of the block. Now, this 5 lakhs rupees shall be subject to short-term capital gain. Short-term capital gain. Now, the question arises, shall this person, shall this businessman be able to claim the depreciation in respect of this asset and this asset, plant number 2? This has not been sold. Now the answer is, even these assets are existing, but the block is, the sale value is more than the block. Then now there is no block. Now the value of the block is finished, even though the two assets are existing, but the assessee cannot claim depreciation on this and this asset, even though they are existing and being used, because where is the block? Block has become negative, because 15 lakhs minus 10 lakhs, so once the block becomes negative, even the assets are existing, no depreciation is possible, and this amount shall be treated always as a short-term capital gain. Even this motor car is held for more than 3 years. It will not be treated as a long-term capital gain. Can I say, if the depreciable asset is sold, the capital gain is always a short-term capital gain. But let us reverse the situation. Now here, suppose the motor car is sold only for, say, 10,000 rupees. How you will compute the block? How you will compute the depreciation? Now here, same thing. Shall there be any, capital gain? The answer is no, because the opening WDV is 10 lakhs, no acquisition during the year, but the motor car is sold only for 10,000. That means still the WDV is available to the extent of 9,90,000. That means this will not be short-term capital gain, this will be WDV, no short-term capital gain will be there, because the total sale value is less than the, opening WDV. So there will not be any capital gain. Shall the company, shall the person, shall the businessman be able to claim the depreciation? Yes, he will be able to claim the depreciation on the remaining assets, because still he has block which is positive, 9,90,000. He can claim the depreciation at the rate of 15%. Because what is the meaning of block? Under section 2, subsection 11, asset carrying the same rate of depreciation and in the same nature will form part of block. So here, no capital gain, because the block is still existing. Once there is block, no capital gain, and short-term capital gain, but depreciation yearly would be calculated on 9,90,000 at the rate of 15%. This is given under section 50, subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act. Is that clear? This is how we have to understand. Now let us take another example. Now I want to play with section 50 subsection 2. Suppose the WDV is 10 lakhs and the entire block is sold for rupees 15 lakhs. That means this machine is sold, this machine is sold, this machine is sold. Now the depreciation, now let us compute the capital gains. Capital gains. Is it a depreciable asset? Yes, in case of depreciable asset, short-term capital gain, and it is transferred, short-term capital gain will take place. Now opening WDV, 10 lakhs. Add, is there any acquisition of the asset during the year? No. So the WDV is 10 lakhs. What is the sale value? Less. Sale value is 15 lakhs. Now, this 5 lakhs rupees shall be subject to short-term capital gain. And the question of depreciation does not arise. Why? Because every asset has been sold of the block. So under section 52, if all the assets, if the block ceases to exist, then it will be a short-term capital gain. But suppose the assets have been sold for 3 lakhs only, all the assets, then this will be 7 lakhs rupees. This will be treated as a short-term capital loss. So this is how we have to understand the concept of section 50, section 51, section 52. Now, let us move further. Now I want to give you the direction of section 50C. What is section 50C? Section 50C talks about if the person sells land or building or land and building. Now, and you know very well, under Transfer of Property Act, if the immobile property is purchased, you have to go for registration. You have to go to the stamp authority for registration. Without registration, the title does not pass. So in case of land or building, immobile property in the form of land or building or land and building, if it is sold, then the sale value, if it is less than the, what you call it, stamp duty value, in that case, the stamp duty value shall always be considered as deemed consideration under section 50C of the Income Tax Act. Let us take an example. Suppose Mr. A has sold his flat to Mr. B for rupees, say 7 lakhs on say 8/4/2009 for rupees 7 lakhs. Now he has sold to Mr. B. Mr. A acquired the flat and sold it to Mr. B for 7 lakhs. The flat was purchased by Mr. A on 10/4/2001 for rupees 1 lakh. Again I tell you. Mr. A purchased the flat on 10/4/2001 for rupees 1 lakh and on 8/4/2009 he sold the same to Mr. B for rupees 7 lakhs. Now B has to go to the stamp authority for registration, and the stamp authorities value this flat at 11 lakhs rupees for the purposes of levying stamp duty. So they value the flat that no, even in the agreement it is written 7 lakhs sale agreement between A and B, but we will take the stamp duty on 11 lakhs rupees. Now, what shall be the capital gain in the hands of A? Please understand. Computation of capital gains in the hands of Mr. A. Now see here. For which assessment year? It will be assessment year 2010-11 because this will end on 31-3-2010. Now, is it a long term? Yes, because the asset has been purchased in 2001 and was sold on 8-4-2009. So, Mr. A has retained the asset for more than 3 years. So, under section 2, subsection 29A, if the asset has been held for more than 3 years, it is a long term capital gain. So, it is a long term capital gain. So, what is the formula for long term capital gain? Say, full value of consideration. Now, here, please help me. Whether full value of consideration in the hands of A who sold the flat to Mr. B for 7 lakhs, should it be 7 lakhs or should it be 11 lakhs? Here, the full value of consideration. Since the stamp authority value is more than the agreement value, this value of 11 lakhs shall be deemed to be the full value of consideration. Even Mr. A has received actually rupees 7 lakhs. But this value shall be deemed to be the full value of consideration by virtue of section 50 subsection C of the Income Tax Act. Shall be deemed. Now less, if it is a long term, indexation would be applicable. So index cost of acquisition. Now what is the cost of acquisition? COA into CII of previous year of transfer divided by CII of previous year of acquisition by Mr. A. Now what is the cost of acquisition? Mr. A purchased it for 1 lakh rupees into what was the CII for 2001-2? The CII for 2001-2 is suppose, just an example, suppose it is say 500. Just an example. Or you do one thing, you make it 2000, say you make it instead of this, you make it 2000, say 1983. So we make it, A purchased it in 1983 for 1 lakh. Instead of 2001, I am replacing it with 1983. Now 1 lakh is the cost. Now CIO previous year of transfer, when the transfer took place in 2009-2010, and the CII of 2009-2010 is 632. And when he purchased the plot, when he purchased the flat was purchased on 10-4-1983. Earlier it was 2001. I have changed it to 1983. So it is 83-84 is the previous year, and 83-84 the previous year, it is 116. So whatever comes here shall be the index cost, and the difference will be calculated as long-term capital gain. So please understand, dear students, if the property is in the form of land or building or land and building, and if the agreement value is less than the, what you call it, registration value, then this value, registration value by the authority shall prevail, even though it is a state authority. But central government has, by virtue of section 50C, has enacted that we will respect, we value this property by 11 lakhs rupees. But suppose The agreement value is 7 lakhs. And the stamp duty is charged only for 5 lakhs rupees. What shall be the sale consideration here? Shall it be 5 lakhs or shall it be 7 lakhs? The consideration shall always be 7 lakhs because the stamp authority, the agreement is made actual by consideration more than this. So this will prevail, yes or no boss? So this is how we understand section 50C of the Income Tax Act. So my dear friends, we started the journey with understanding section 45(1A) of the Income Tax Act. We understood section 51 where the asset is transferred from the block of asset in case of a depreciable asset. Then we went to section 52 where the entire block is sold. Then we went to section, say, 50C of the Income Tax Act. Then we went to earlier section 45 subsection 5, that is compulsory acquisition by the government under the law. So this is how the special effects have been understood in case of long-term or short-term capital gains.